When I mentioned to a friend that Nick Cave was going to be on my show, he wondered whether the singer-composer was promoting a new Bad Seeds album. Not a record, I answered. A movie called The Proposition. He wrote the score, my friend asked. Yes, and he wrote the screenplay as well. Well, I guess my friend shouldn't have been surprised because Nick Cave has already published poetry and a best-selling novel. And The Proposition, which was directed by John Hillcoat and stars Guy Pearce, Ray Winstone, Danny Houston, and Emily Watson, opens this Friday at the Angelica Film Center and the AMC Empire 25, and it brings both Nick Cave and the director John Hillcoat to my show today. Hello.
Hello.
Hi.
John, the Proposition has been described as a down-under Western that turns the Western upside down. Do you like that?
Yeah, well, it's... It's an interesting description. It's how the West wasn't won.
Mm-hmm. Well, many people have invoked the spirits of Sam Peckinpah and Sergio Leone. Would they in the back of your mind?
Absolutely. I mean, I was very I was actually over in America and Canada as a young teenager, and I saw all those films, the great anti-Westerns with Altman, Malick, Peckinpah, and they had a huge influence on me. And then going back to Australia, that's something that I wanted to... but it had to be Australian. So that was the trick.
Well, how similar was the Australian Bushranger era to the American West?
Well, I mean...
Because we get a feeling here that there are a lot of similarities.
Yeah, well, I mean, in a general sense, yeah, there were, you know, there were outlaws, there was conflict with the frontier, you know, with the actual land and climate, and also the indigenous cultures, you know, so there was similar...
So instead of Native Americans, we have Aboriginals.
Yeah, and there was a lot of... so it's that kind of classic frontier conflict, you know, that...
And many people have said that Ned Kelly was very similar to American outlaws like Jesse James, and I understand that. He thought that if he survived, he was going to leave Australia and go to the American West and try his luck out there. You grew up, Nick, around where Ned Kelly was captured, didn't you?
Yeah, that's right, in what they call Kelly Country, which was where he committed his crimes and was eventually captured. The next town on, 20 miles away from Glen Rowan, where he was... captured. So, I mean, I absorbed all of this sort of these stories as a child. My father actually had put on kind of, he was involved in adult education in Wangaratta, which was this town, and put on exhibitions of Ned Kelly's armor and all of this sort of stuff. And so,
was that in the back of your mind when you were working?
Well, I think it was just, it's just something that was ingrained in there, and I didn't feel, once I started writing the script, I didn't feel I really needed to research the kind of bushranger story at all. I felt I had plenty of them in me.
Well, some reviewers have said, along with the spirit of Sam Peckinpah and Sergio Leone, it's in the spirit of many Nick Cave songs.
Well, that's funny, because I wrote it.
Well, you've described writing violent material as enjoyable, and there's a lot of violent material here.
Yeah, I mean, I think a little too much could be made of the violence. It's actually, the violence is in some ways, it's very short, sharp, and brutal, but it's quite restrained at the same time. But there were violent times, and we felt that it would be an injustice to the story and to the time not to show that it was a violent time. So yes, yeah, so there are violent scenes in it, but
it's more about the consequences of violence, though.
Yeah.
Well, Nick, you've also admitted to enjoying writing songs about dead women, and yet you've described yourself as a hopeless romantic, reactionary, and conservative by nature. And I thought, reactionary and conservative? Am I missing something?
I think I'm Australian. We're all a bit like that over from Australia. We are conservative by nature, I think. And it takes quite a lot for us to offend people, but we also enjoy doing that as well.
Well, what makes this film different from a Western is that it really it pits all of the various forces of the birth of a nation, the Australian nation, in this very violent wilderness area. And we have, you know, the old line Brits, and we have a wife who is trying to maintain her British traditions in this very rough situation. At the same time, we have these totally vicious outlaws.
Well, and yeah, it's a story of empire building, you know, where one culture tries to impose its will on another culture, and so they're for our cast, it became a reality. You know, these English actors came out to the outback for the first time, and they were wearing, you know, corsets and, you know, the velvet dresses and, you know, all that, which is what the Victorians did, which was insane, you know, in the
Well, the local lawman, who's played wonderfully by Ray Winstone, Captain Stanley is the character. His wife is Emily Watson, and you get the feeling that she is kind of like the Grace Kelly character in High Noon, only less likable. You thinking of that? Because
No.
You weren't.
I don't think we were thinking of that. No. I think actually Emily's part was a lot more complex than it ended up being, unfortunately, as the film got kind of slowly chipped away at.
I mean, there's only so much you can stick into a movie.
Yeah.
Yeah, but no.
But there's a lot of tenderness between Stanley and Martha.
I think she's immensely likable.
Oh. Yeah.
But hey, we've probably got different tastes.
Well,
you know, I think in the environment that the film is in, which is a brutal situation, and also a brutal environment. Just the landscape itself is out to get them in some kind of way.
It has to be tough for somebody who isn't brutal herself to live in this environment. Yeah.
Well, the tenderness that happens between Stanley and his wife is particularly affecting because of that, I think. But
Well, John, this began with your idea to do an Australian Western, and you gave somebody else the assignment to write the script. You just thought that Nick would write the music, isn't that true?
Well, yeah, initially. I mean, I'm very big on research, so I was kind of, over the years, it was an ambitious task, because I knew that, you know, working conditions out there was very tough, and to have that kind of epic scope. And I was just trying to find a strong enough story that would tie in all these ingredients.
Well, you'd worked with Nick before, but this is not the... And Nick, you were asked by Russell Crowe to write Gladiator 2. So,
I did write Gladiator 2, yeah.
And which will never be made, I gather.
Well, no, not in this lifetime. The world ain't ready for it yet.
But did you think that you were ready to write something as complex as this? Easier to write than some songs?
Well, it's the whole process for me is much easier than writing a song. I find writing songs very often excruciating work, and very slow work. This was very much this was something that I had absolutely no idea how to do. I didn't know all the attendant problems and pressures and stuff that most script writers, I guess, when they write a script, are aware of when they're writing a script, what will fly with the studio, all of this sort of stuff. I basically was just writing something that I thought had possibly a 5% chance of ever seeing the light of day. So that gave me an enormous freedom in what I actually wrote.
And how much did you have to change it? Or did he figure it out all by himself?
No.
Is this exactly the script that Nick gave you, John?
Well, I mean, all scripts develop as they go along. Everyone sort of partakes in it, and like the actors, and it keeps, you know. I mean, it was to be on for a script. There was really only two drafts, you know, that often, and there's a chronic sort of overdevelopment mentality on scripts these days, where
Absolutely.
There's so much, it loses the more focus and outside influences that steam in, tends to compromise a lot of the, you know, and it never used to be like that.
My guests are John Hillcoat, who's the director of a new film called The Proposition, and Nick Cave, who wrote the script and the score. The film, which stars Guy Pearce, Ray Winstone, Danny Huston, Emily Watson, opens this Friday at the Angelica Film Center.
And John Hurt.
Well, John Hurt does a cameo. I was going to mention that. It's at the Angelica Film Center in the AMC Empire 25. Is this totally your original story, Nick?
Yes, it is. It's not based on any other story.
And is it something that had been sitting there in the back of your head? Because you wrote this thing in 3 weeks, I gather.
Yeah, I mean, it was actually, John, I was in the studio mixing a record, and John was in there filming it. He had this job of doing a kind of bird's eye, fly on the wall kind of view of us in the studio. And that's when John asked me to write it. So I had the luxury, I guess, of John being there and being able to just say, well, what about if this character did this and this character did that? And we just sort of talked about it through the days that I was mixing the record. So that when I went out of the studio and actually sat down to start writing it, we had a firm notion about what that story should be.
One of the things that's so much fun about it is that just when we think it's going in one direction, it doesn't, and things just keep on going more and more wrong. The plot keeps on complicating to the point where we're not always sure whom and what we should root for.
That's very intentional. I did read a review where that expressed that as a weakness in the script, that I couldn't work out who we should be rooting for. But I thought that was part of the fun. But it was very much intentional.
The way it was put was we don't know who the good guys are and who the bad guys are.
Even the Aboriginals, they are neither the noble savages that they are often depicted as, nor are they. I mean, they do some awful things, and they also are victims here.
I'm personally particularly proud of that balance that we sort of got, and we had a lot of input from the Aboriginal actors as well. But it was like just the fabric, looking at them as a part of the society, part of the fabric of what was going on, in a very matter-of-fact sort of way.
When we went on the set and met the Aboriginal actors, they were ecstatic about having a script that they could be in where they could finally get to fight back, and fight each other.
Although this is a time when they were hunted down in packs. Yeah. 100,000 killed by the colonists during this period. That's
more than that.
Really?
Yeah,
that's the figure I read. I guess that's the official government figure.
Yeah. That's a revisionist figure.
It was really a genocide.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Didn't, John, one Australian critic complain that the two of you weren't the ideal people to be making a film about this dark period in Australian history because you both have lived so long outside of Australia?
Yeah, yeah. I mean, I think that's a very narrow sort of viewpoint. In a way, it was an advantage.
I think that's why we could make that film, because we're not burdened with all the politics that are going on about this issue, or the lack of politics that are going on about this issue now in Australia, and we can just write something. I was, from my point of view, I was actually completely unaware of where Australia now stood with its relationship towards the Indigenous population. 20 years ago, when I was there, it was a hot topic. It was a polarizing topic where people were actually marching on the streets, and that amends should be made to the Indigenous population, all that sort of thing. And then a kind of right-wing government got in, and all of that was swept under the carpet. So,
although
I guess,
it's still hot, I mean, a couple of years ago, more people took to the streets over the fact that John Howard, the Prime Minister, refused to apologise for the history.
Yeah.
And the meanness of spirit in that, more people took to the streets than over any other issue.
Nick, have you apologized to your son Arthur, one of your twins, for making the most hateful, naming the most hateful character in this film, Arthur?
Yeah, I don't know how. I mean, that's what happens. You're kind of sitting there thinking, what am I going to call him? Oh, you know, that'll do, type of thing. And the name kind of sticks. I always intended to change that, but it just, after a while, he couldn't be called anything else.
Yeah, when he's later, he'll get really confused when he sees it.
Oh, he'll be proud. He's an endearing kind of bad guy.
Endearing, really? He's a vicious murderer.
Well, he also likes poetry and
sunsets.
And sunsets, so he's not all bad.
Well, the camera work is just gorgeous. It really gives a sense of this, the harsh beauty of this landscape. Did you know where you were going to go and shoot this film?
Well, I mean, that's the thing, is that the impact of the, you know, Australia's interior is like another planet, let alone another country. And having a DP, Benoit actually was French and had a fresh eye, really helped. And actually, like the film itself, there is that kind of incredible harshness and brutality, and yet there's also moments of great beauty and lyrical quality. And that's something that the landscape has, you know. So we really wanted to capture that on film. Having a fresh eye, it really helped.
Nick, do you plan to pursue these dual careers?
I've written another script for John that we're going to do in the autumn.
We have a film company now together.
We actually have a film company.
But, studio.
I'm just a silent partner in that sort of thing. But basically, I'm back doing music, and I feel that's where I really belong.
with the Bad Seeds or again, something else? Because you've had so many different groups over the years.
Yeah, it's another group. But we haven't quite worked out what we're called yet, but it's another group, and playing a different sort of music, and it's going to, you know, change the world. What can I say?
What do you mean by a different kind of music?
Well, it's
happy,
it's,
sunny songs?
No. A different kind of sad, miserable music.
One that will revolutionize
yeah.
the music industry.
Oh. Yeah, absolutely.
As you already have three or four times.
Well, you know.
And you've obviously gotten your life together. None of the problems that you had in the past.
Oh, absolutely not. No. I just, you know,
lots of
scrubbed
new problems.
Up real well.
Well, we would love to have you back sometime to talk about the music, but I was happy to discuss the proposition. We didn't ever even got to what the proposition was, but people will find out that it's an offer that was hard to refuse and hard not to refuse.
Yeah.
And that's the part of the dilemma presented in this film. The Proposition, which was directed by John Hillcoat, stars Guy Pearce, Ray Winstone, Danny Houston, Emily Watson, and John Hurt, and opens this Friday at the Angelica Film Center and the AMC Empire 25. My great thanks to Nick Cave and John Hillcoat for being my guests today.
Thank you very much.
Thank you.
See you soon. Rocks and dry bones. That's where they'll put me.